Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And we're being scrambled. So that eventually we'll get to the point where we're like, just help us, just please give us anything. Because they want us to care about security and commercial endeavors more than they want us to care about being happy. Isn't it interesting how the guy who just tried to kill Donald Trump also worked at the Jack Parsons lab? I mean, the Jet Propulsion Lab at NASA? The ability to enter different consciousnesses like a video game or a prison. It's a downloadable visual, a downloadable consciousness.
They're like, you know, they kill people for this, right? And then they're like, because you're a young woman, they're gonna be before they kill you too. And I have people digging through my panty drawer, breaking into my apartment, digging through my panty drawer so that I notice.
But maybe you could actually unilaterally change the world without having to constantly convince people and beg people and plead with people who are never going to agree with you through technological means. And this is where I think technology is this incredible alternative to politics.
But it's the greatest secret that they want to keep from us because it will destroy everything, okay? Once we understand that there have been pacifization, everything goes out the door.
Hello, citizen. This content creator discusses controversial topics. To properly engage in this content, an open mind is required. There's something very strange about this man. The words he says, the things he does. Is he perhaps a glitch in the system? Is he a rogue federal agent? Is he actually alive? Internet's most mysterious men of mystery. He is a man who has seen his own death and lives life on the run, surviving out of spite and because he's not superstitious, but he is a little stitious. I'm proud to introduce your G-host, Jonathan Jigsaw.
I think the greatest secret out there is that the history that we've been taught about evolution, about development of humanity, it's all fake, okay? So, we have about 10,000 years of human history. So what were we doing for the rest of this time? Okay, that's a question that science has never really answered for us. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two is that we have some archaeological sites that are close to us. Okay, so Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. Okay, Göbekli Tepe, Turkey, Tepe in Turkey. We've only uncovered 5% of all of it, and so why we haven't uncovered the rest of it? It's not about money issue. It's because the truth will destroy the traditional narrative. Truth will destroy the traditional narrative. Then you have the Amazon in Brazil, and how we're discovering how these ancient civilizations existed in Amazon before, and also these ancient civilizations were the ones who actually created the Amazon, because the Amazon itself is not an organic creation. It was a man-made creation. So if you do. I mean, like if you just work from first principles, what you recognize is that we've probably had civilizations before this, okay, that were destroyed in the Great Flood. So we are not part of the first civilization, okay? So I think it's safe to say that there have been other civilizations before us that were also advanced, but in a different way, okay? Maybe rather than focus on the material, they were focused more on the spiritual. Anyway, yeah, so I think that's a greatest secret that the elite refuse to allow us to understand. Even Epstein was spending a lot of time looking for Atlantis, right? Mm-hmm. And so the elite understand that there have been past civilizations before, and they spend a lot of time and resources looking for these past civilizations. So what was Stephen Hawking doing on Epstein Island, right? Well, he was part of this search for these lost civilizations. So the elite understand this, but it's the greatest secret that they want to keep from us because it will destroy everything, okay? Once we understand that there have been past civilizations, everything goes out the door.
I don't think politics is the only way to go. When I got involved in the tech boom in Silicon Valley, I ended up being the co-founder of a company called PayPal, where and the initial founding vision was that we were going to use technology to change the whole world and basically overturn on the monetary system of the world. And you know, we can debate on how much it succeeded or how little it succeeded, but the basic idea was that we could never win an election on getting certain things because we were in such a small minority. But maybe you could actually unilaterally change the world without having to constantly convince people and beg people and plead with people who are never going to agree with you through a technological means. And this is where I think technology is this incredible alternative to politics. And you know, there are a number of different technologies we can outline, but the task in this world where politics has become so broken and so dysfunctional is to find a way to escape from it. It's not a way to fix it, it is a way to escape.
I wrote this episode literally one sentence at a time, and I don't mean that I normally write episodes two or three sentences at a time or any number of simultaneous sentences at a time, but what I do mean is that this one I felt like I literally had to tiptoe through and kind of choose my words very carefully. I would say that this is probably one of my most intentionally written episodes yet. Definitely rests upon the topics that typically have gotten me banned, but I feel like this is such a big issue that I'm just going to go for it. So I guess you could say I'm kind of walking on eggshells a little bit, but that saying has a little bit of a different meaning when you live in a world with no evidence of the children, only evidence of where they once were. So we're going to go for it. They're killing people out there, man. I was just watching Nick Shirley's latest video, and this dude, love him or hate him, is getting death threats every day for exposing fraud. Big left-wing politicians literally are all but calling for his death, and then the radicalized people of the internet are seeking to act on it. That's how they get you. And if they can't get you this way, they'll just get you with the exotic weapons, right? That we now know are coming out of the woodwork at an expedited pace. They're starting to make a really big scene these days. And you'll find out why by the end of this video, because I think it's all connected. But microwaves, ghost murmur, the tech that moves time and space, according to the White House, the nano manipulator that lives in the blood of CIA and other government employees that possesses the ability to kill or remotely control. There are a number of layers that they can get to you on these days, and they all feel like you're being gang stalked literally inside your brain. So it drives you to insanity until you commit suicide. They use a debilitating weapon that blocks frequencies or heightens them, which causes you to experience hallucinations essentially in waking life without any drugs in your system that would cause you to jump off of buildings or pull triggers. Instead, this frequency manipulation is what will do that. Or these nano infiltrators. It's a gun to your head, essentially. These weapons, these exotic type weapons, these are guns to your head without the guns actually being there. Retired UK intelligence officer Frank Milburn claims that she was targeted with direct energy weapons and murdered by a private aerospace company in the US because she was involved in the UAP conversation and working on advanced propulsion. And then shortly after talking about this on X and posting evidence, most of which has been deleted, by the way, she was found dead of a supposed suicide. What a surprise. But they use other weapons against us, and this is all part of one operation or another, but most likely leads indirectly back to Monarch and Bluebeam and stuff like that. Havana Syndrome is a set of mysterious, sometimes debilitating neurological symptoms, which include vertigo and headaches and ear pressure, which has been reported by many U.S. officials worldwide. And even the U.S. is quick to say that perhaps this is some sort of Russian weapon. it's probably ours, but it could just as easily be a Russian weapon. Just because of who's being killed, I would lean more towards this is one of our weapons, but it doesn't really seem to be that sophisticated of a weapon. Whatever it is that is causing Havana syndrome, most likely microwaves or direct radio frequency, which is just kind of another way of saying microwave energy. But many hospitals also have a big machine called a gamma knife, which is used as a sort of non-invasive method to deliver radiation to tumors. So if directed energy is being used in civilian applications, then it would be absolutely naive of us to even think that that technology hasn't already been weaponized, because of course it has. And we kind of know about that now. We saw the bodyguards of Maduro, that we saw their brains get vaporized, right? We saw them get all scrambled up and their marbles all got knocked loose before American soldiers even touched foot on their soil, right? But listen, my brain operates in a way that constantly searches for and collects signals. So, and when I say signals, I'm referring to things like keywords, numbers, dates, coordinates, names, underappreciated stories, weird stories, anything else that could be considered valuable across the information scape. And I don't always know when those things are going to become valuable, and yet they kind of stay in my brain somehow. They just collect there. I'm like a hoarder with these signals. They just sort of sit there, and maybe I'll use them someday. Maybe I'll forget all about them and stack other signals on top of them. All of this is ironic because I actually have a very horrible memory, and maybe this is why. But about 3 weeks ago, I stopped watching the news because the signals were just getting all jumbled up, and I was getting very frustrated, nervous, I don't want to say scared, but I was very negative about the future. It seemed like every story was constantly contradicting another story that I would see somewhere else, and it got to the point where I no longer was really able to discern fact from fiction or reality from straight up nightmare. I think this was an intentional scrambling of all of our brains, not just mine. I think over the course of the last year, we have collectively as the West, have been experiencing a misinformation, a disinformation, and a highly developed propaganda operation, causing a degree of damage that is far more severe than the damage done during 9/11 and the subsequent wars, if you ask me. And that's a bit of a hot take. So why do I feel that way? Well, all the signals in my brain started connecting, and I realized something quite suddenly upon receiving what felt like a literal electric shock as the sort of final puzzle pieces collected themselves together like these roaming nanobots and clicked into place. They're getting ready to pass the age. They're getting ready to enter the next era. They're getting ready to flip the narrative again. They're getting ready to change history by attempting to rewrite the future away from what it was and toward what they want it to be. And the final piece that clicked this all together for me was the alleged murder of David Wilcock.
According to a press release issued on April 22nd, officers responded to reports of a mental health crisis. They made contact with a man outside a residence who was holding a weapon. Within minutes of their arrival, he used that weapon on himself. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities later confirmed the individual was David Wilcock, but as the news spread, something else began circulating online. An old post from 2022, a post that is now raising questions. In that post, shared on X in December 2022, Wilcock had written, quote, "I plan on living, not suicidal at all, just concerned about what happens when you prove God is real." A post pairing his old statement with the news of his death has already crossed 5.5 million views online. And that's not all. Just 2 days before his death, Wilcock went live on YouTube. In that live stream, he spoke about being grateful to be alive, even as he referenced what he described as mysterious deaths in his field. Quote, Every day that I have on Earth is a gift and a blessing. People are disappearing. Scientists are going missing. It's a little bit scary. Those words now being re-examined. Adding fuel to the speculation, Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna also weighed in online. Quote, if you were feeling uneasy about the number of scientists who have gone missing, died, or died by suicide, you are correct in your intuition. Something is up.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In a strange twist of fate, David Wilcox's biographer, Win Free, died on the 14th of April. Only 6 days before David, so they don't even, I don't know what that means, but maybe they don't even want a project that he was working on to get out. We see this all the time with celebrities and big people whose faces are increasingly seen on the screen or online. Eventually, they get to a point where they just inherently are on the radar of people who would disagree with them. We saw this with Chester Bennington of Linkin Park. We saw this with David Wilcock. We saw this with Brittany Murphy. We saw this with Charlie Kirk. We see this with all sorts of people all the time. Political figures, people who organize activities that would hinder the efforts of powerful people, anything like that. It doesn't really matter if you are able to stop them or not, but if you're just annoying enough, we live in the murder age, the secret murder age, the assassin era. So it's very easy to go ahead and just take somebody out, like David Wilcock especially. But reacting to David Wilcock's death, Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett said, "Not cool." Burchett had earlier flagged retired General William Neil McCaslin's disappearance, which is another one, as a major national security issue. You guys have probably seen that all over the news already. McCaslin is believed to have ties with secret UFO programs at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, and also knew about nuclear secrets, and he just like walked into the desert or something, and they never found him. We don't know where he is. Talking to the Daily Mail, Burchett said there's no chance that this is all just coincidental. It's just too much going on. We need to start paying attention to it. I don't have a lot of faith in the intelligence community, the congressman said. Burchett is one of several officials who are sure that the U.S. government is hiding secrets about extraterrestrial life. So, what a coincidence, okay? Burchett also claims that McCaslin was the key figure in the U.S. military's secret UFO programs, and McCaslin went missing from his home in Albuquerque, New Mexico on February 27th. He didn't take his phone and was last seen near Quail Run Court, northeast in Albuquerque. And the congressman, Burchett, says that he knew about the recovered UFO spacecraft from the 1947 Roswell UFO crash that is allegedly at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And earlier, journalist Ross Coulthart said McCaslin was working on a classified space weapons program. There are other missing American scientists that I'm sure you all have caught wind about. We have McCaslin since February 27th, 2026, Monica Jacinto Reyes, who was a senior aerospace engineer at Aerojet Rocketdyne, JPL, missing June 22nd, 2025, Melissa Casillas, administrative professional at Los Alamos National Laboratory, missing since June 26th, 2025, Anthony Chavez, retired employee of Los Alamos National Laboratory, missing since May 8th, 2025, Stephen Garcia, who was a government contractor at Kansas City National Security Campus, missing since August 28th, 2025. And then we have some dead scientists, too. We have Carl Grillmer, Caltech, NASA astrophysicist, who was murdered on February 16th, 2026. Physicist Nuno Loureiro, who was working on plasma physics and was killed outside his Boston home on December 15th, 2025. Jason Thomas, assistant director of chemical biology at Novartis, whose remains were found on March 7th. Frank Mywald, principal researcher at NASA JPL, who died on July 4th, 2024. Nobody knows how. Michael David Hicks, veteran physicist at NASA JPL, who passed away on July 30th, 2023. Nobody knows how. And, of course, the infamous Amy Eskridge, who is the founder of the Institute for Exotic Science, who reportedly died by suicide on June 11, 2022. But I have extreme doubts about that one. So we can see that there are some glaring issues with the protection of our scientists or the elimination of our scientists by our own government. It's one of the two. This is not coincidence. It's too small a group of people. You see, you can say stuff like, well, people die all the time. Obviously, this is coincidence. But the thing is, people do die all the time. But do people die all the time from very specific, highly classified, highly important focus groups, such as NASA JPL scientists, astrophysicists of the highest caliber, researchers of exotic sciences? Are these the type of people who just constantly die all the time, frequently? I don't think we have enough of them for them to be frequently dying all the time, so I don't think it's coincidence. Amy Eskridge also went live shortly before she died, and apparently, while slightly under the influence, you can see that she's drinking in the video that I'm about to show you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's not telling the truth. Oftentimes, people get more truthful when they're drinking, and she had some very dark statements to make. By the way, this was also around the time that she began to report having Havana syndrome herself, perhaps, and near the time that she began saying people she didn't know were stalking her, threatening her, and sending her little jingles describing how she should kill herself, essentially being gang-stalked, aided by technology. Check this video out.
So Jeremy, I was homeschooled through this group called Covenant Christian Academy. I was in public school in Huntsville through the first grade. We moved out to the country. I was in podunk fucking redneck middle of nowhere county school through the sixth grade. Why we got bullied out. It was awful. I homeschooled. Jim Ashburn, the inventor of YBCO, was a homeschool dad from my cover group. Sean Bellina, MK Ultra motherfucker. His parents were both OBGYNs for MK Ultra. And he was raised on LSD from the age of six, was a CCA homeschool dad. Bill Dent, the best friend of Edward Teller, neutron bomb inventor, was a CCA homeschool dad. And like when we moved into our farm here in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, there was Mr. and Mrs. Dent next door, an elderly couple, grandma and grandpa. 25 years later, we meet Bill Dent. Those were his parents. His parents lived next door to us in the middle of fucking nowhere. And he's the inventor of the neutron bomb, the best friend of Ed Teller. And he's assigned to my team randomly. I didn't look for him. He joined my team randomly. Why did he live next door to me 25 years ago? That's weird. Like all of these people homeschooled through the same group that I graduated from. I can learn a new field in 3 months. Name a field. I don't care what it is. Engineering, science, physics, material science, math, language. All you need to know is how to learn. So I want to do a Reddit AMA. I want to be like, I'm a time traveling, world saving, prophecy fulfilling bitch. Ask me anything. I don't know. I've been in denial until like, I don't know, a month ago. The Mansfield Amendment around that time, they passed a law saying that the military cannot investigate anti-gravity, period. Charles Babbage and the Mansfield Amendment. It was made illegal for the military to investigate anti-gravity.
And Hal, you know who Hal really
is? Hal's a liar, though.
Hal is the doctor from Stranger Things who like will torture a little alien kid.
No, he is.
Get all the juice out of their brain.
And Hal is actually extremely evil.
Yes.
No, I've met the man. He's extremely evil. He's very quiet. He listens more than he talks. But you can tease things out of him, but it's only what he wants you to tease out of him. He's like a nice old grandpa. Like, you talk to him and he's like quiet and sweet and gentle, like a nice old grandpa. But he's evil as fuck. It's creepy. Lou is evil. Brandenburg is evil. Brandenburg is like super evil. I'm going to bring George Knapp and blah, 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 and we'll film. But Lou said the same thing. Lou was like, oh, we're filming the second season of the TTSA show on the History Channel, and we'll come do an episode about Huntsville. Like, I want to bring Tom DeLonge and Steve Justice and Hal and blah, blah, blah people to your house. And he told me that the U.S. government would give me a shit ton of money to keep me from selling it to China. And so I called him and I'm like, can you refer me to an active U.S. Army general, please, to talk about this transaction? And he was like, radio silence. Like, I asked him to refer me to active military, and that killed the conversation. I'm in Huntsville, Alabama. I know I've said that several times. We're the Rocket City. We're the biggest steel you've never heard of. Von Braun was here and we won the space race. We developed the Saturn V here. We built the Saturn V here. We won the space race here in Alabama, whether you've heard of it or not. And I can tell you for a fact, so many prototypes. Only prototype built like this in the world. You turn it on the first time, it works exactly like you thought it would the first time. Great data. You apply for more funding to test it more thoroughly, they cancel it. They cancel it. It goes to NASA divestment. It goes to the auction block. People bid on it. And literally scrap metal vendors win the bid and melt it down for scrap metal and sell it. We could be crazy, crazy, crazy far. We could be on the moons of Jupiter. We could be exploring Pluto that isn't even a planet anymore if we had spent money differently. I can tell you the names of so many NASA scientists that are depressed and they want to kill themselves because they have built prototype after prototype after prototype in Huntsville, Alabama. First in the world, never before seen, worked the first time you turned it on exactly like you thought. And it was canceled and melted down for scrap metal. This time, they're waiting for someone to publish. They're ready. They're waiting. There are SSP motherfuckers that are fucking twiddling their thumbs. Like, is Amy not going to publish soon? Gah, we've been influencing this bitch forever. Doesn't she know we want her to publish? Jesus. Like, there's multiple people doing that right now. And on the other side of the fence, there's multiple parties looking at each other like, didn't we tell this bitch 3 years ago that we kill people for this? Is she not listening? What is she doing? She's still doing it? What? We told her we were going to kill her 3 years ago. So I have these two, different scenarios floating constantly in my life where I have people being like, do it, do it, do it. You're the one, do it. And then I have multiple people being like, they're going to kill you. Don't do it. They're going to kill you. I have like multiple of these whispers in my ears. I can't even describe it. It's crazy. And then I even have the people that are like, this happens too. They're like, you know, they kill people for this, right? And then they're like, because you're a young woman, they're going to rape you before they kill you too. And I have people digging through my panty drawer, breaking into my apartment, digging through my panty drawer so that I notice.
Now, like we said before, maybe we can chalk this all up to coincidence. I didn't look at this sooner because sometimes I get so burdened by all of the conspiracy theories that I just wish that something natural could happen once in a while. Just once in a while, something normal could happen. Somebody could die normally. So I allow myself to believe that everybody dies. So maybe these people just died too. No real conspiracy to see here. But then I saw that Chinese scientists have been dying mysterious deaths too. According to Newsweek's April 2026 reporting, at least 9 Chinese scientists tied to ultra-sensitive fields, including military AI, hypersonic weapons, drone systems, space defense, microelectronics, data security, and advanced materials, they've died unexpectedly in recent times. And the same reporting draws attention in Washington. In the United States, the number discussed was 11. In China, at least 9. There's a pattern going on here. We're able to see something bigger, a bigger picture unfolding. The strangest case of these Chinese scientists dying may be Feng Yang. Feng Yang was only 38 years old. He was not some obscure academic working in a forgotten corner of mathematics. He was a professor at China's National University of Defense Tech, one of the most important military research institutions in the country. He was reportedly a rising star in China's artificial intelligence defense sector. And his work involved war gaming, simulations, invention, and possible Taiwan invasion scenarios. His platform had a name that sounds almost too symbolic to be real. His platform he was working on is called War Skull. And that's the kind of name that tells you what century we have really entered. The old war room had maps and generals and cigar smoke and men pushing little wooden horses across a tabletop map. But the new war room has machine learning. It has simulation engines. It has drone swarm logic. It has predictive escalation models and experimental weapons experimentation. A machine mind trained to essentially imagine invasion and attack. And then in the early hours of July 1st, 2023, Feng died in a car crash in Beijing. He had been working on a major task, and then he was dead, and his obituary on the state-run science news site, sciencenet.cn, reportedly claimed that Feng had been, quote, sacrificed while performing official duties.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sacrificed, not passed away, tragically died. So was Feng a victim of bad timing, or was he part of something much larger? Was something hidden under the surface of scientific competition and he got the short stick? Newsweek quoted an experienced researcher of the Chinese military who said Feng was a mastermind behind AI simulations of Taiwan scenarios and called the timing of the accident very odd. The same researcher said that a person killed in a normal car crash would not typically be described as having sacrificed his life, and that Feng's burial in Barbizon was also unusual because this was like a graveyard where the big heroes of China are buried. And then there was all these other ones that I'm not going to bore you with naming, but they're all scientists. It's the same type of situation that's going on in China with their scientists is going on here with ours. Very strange stuff. Again, I'm going to reiterate, these are not random academic specialties. These are highly valuable individuals who do have a level of protection that is afforded to them simply because of how smart they are, the projects they're working on, what they're capable of doing in the future, and their value to the country on a not only a defense level, but also a progressive level. These people are essential for essentially ushering in the future. That being said, these nations, the United States and China is the ones we're specifically talking about now, they are supposed to be protecting these types of people. These are the organs of the coming empire. This is the new world being assembled, and these are the people who put the pieces together. That's why all of this matters, because it definitely seems now like the old arms race that was very easy to understand. You know, one nation built a bigger bomb, another nation built a faster missile. The terror in that situation seemed to be literally physical. You could blow up, you could point to it, you could photograph a mushroom cloud if you're not going to be able to stop the bomb from dropping in the first place. You could draw a missile silo on a map and blow it up. But the new arms race is a little bit different. The new arms race is invisible. it would seem, until it's too late. Because it doesn't seem to be just about weapons anymore. It's about some type of prediction, some type of simulation, automation, control. It is about building machines that can see the battlefield, the landscape. The battlefield doesn't merely have to be a scape of war. It can be a total war as well, where you're also collecting data and impacting and infiltrating civilian sectors and just the general populace as well. It is about weapons so fast that decision making collapses in seconds. You don't really understand it. It's about building drone swarms that behave less like aircraft and more like insects. It's so that they can be invisible to everybody on the planet. It's about satellites that watch the planet like an unblinking eye. It's about artificial intelligence and quantum systems that don't merely assist war, but actually begin to predict the outcome of war. And if this is all true, and like I said before, it's not just war, this type of technology will be used to engineer every aspect of society, but the military typically starts with this type of technology so that they can really understand and come to a grasp of the true value and utility of this product, this tech that they're utilizing, okay? So if all of this is true, then the most valuable target, if you will, in the world is no longer a missile or a bomb. It's the mind. It's the intelligence that knows how the missile thinks. But this isn't about missiles only anymore. This is a scientist war, I think. A silent war. You're not going to see the armies clashing. You're going to see the intelligence agencies. You're going to see spies. You're going to see scientists dying and hidden projects struggling to remain secret. Okay, that's what you're going to see. This pattern that I'm noticing says that the people who are building tomorrow's military reality are also becoming strategically important for building the planet's future. And it's in a way that the people of the world barely understand. The pattern says that a scientist working on hypersonics or military AI is more dangerous than a general. The general uses the weapon. The scientist creates the conditions by which that weapon exists. That's an entirely different class of power. And history has already shown us that scientists become targets. Iranian nuclear scientists were assassinated in past years, widely believed to have been targeted because of their connection to Iran's nuclear program. Duh. This is not a fantasy. This is not just conspiracy folklore. States have understood for a long time that killing one mind can delay entire programs. A bomb destroys a building, but an assassination can destroy an entire timeline. For decades, the public was trained to think of advanced hidden tech as nothing more than science fiction. You have UFOs who are for the weirdos, the cranks. You have directed energy weapons that were for the fringe thinkers and the people who liked Star Wars and Star Trek. You have artificial intelligence. This was a distant dream for the nerds. You have autonomous war. This was movie language, brain machine interfaces, synthetic biology, insect styled drone swarms. These are all things of horror tech, things of horror science fiction. You know, you've got orbital weapons and consciousness studies. All of it lived in separate rooms of the public imagination. But now the walls of that house are coming down, and this is a very scary mansion. Suddenly, we're seeing things like UFOs being in the congressional hearings.
On TikTok, it looked like a black jellyfish, a gigantic black jellyfish, and it sailed right over the retreat, directly through the center line of the ship, right through our X and our staff, and just floated through. Thing was, we had no wind, maybe 5 knots at the time, but this thing was cruising along about 10, 15 miles per hour, just cruised right over, and as it passed the stern of the ship, it went a couple hundred meters, maybe 300 to 400 meters, and then it started to descend into the water.
Suddenly, AI has launched us into this uncontrollable fever dream, completely hell-bent on remodeling everything from the aesthetics of our lives to the entertainment in our movies to the way that things operate to the way that doctors function to the way that scientists work to the way that weapons are engineered. And they seem to be uniquely these AI imaginations, these AI brains that are functioning out there, these AI whatever they are that are thinking up everything, these mega computers, whatever you want to call them. The AI is uniquely interested, capable, imaginative, and talented when it comes to showing us demons, horrifying realities, monsters, spiritual realities, creatures that we can't really fathom that come from some otherworldly realm, and just a general, these visuals carry with them a general feeling of dark spookiness is the best way that I can describe it, that definitely hinges on a spiritual background. I don't know how to like really describe it, but take a look at this video.
I trusted you. My mother saw me just through the liquid walls. Knock, knock. Oh, you're early again. Take your coat off. Take my skin instead. I made tea, I made excuses. Told them all, you're just a cousin. Visiting from somewhere loud. Visiting from somewhere loud. And I smile like a hostess with a knife behind her.
Do you listen to the words that the AI says? It's an AI song. Do you in an AI music video, completely thought up by AI, and I cut it before it got to the fake AI artist that they pretended made that. But again, it's like a living thing in a weird way. And I don't know if you noticed the aesthetic and the vibe of the video, but these videos often frequent falling into another realm, being abducted by something, being taken by something. She's singing about being the good girl, kneeling at the altar. I know you're there, but I don't care, or something like that. You're a friend from somewhere loud. You know, we're falling into the mouth. We're falling into fire, where there's clones. Like, there's all these things that AI inherently seems to gravitate towards in this strange music video, and I'll show you more by the end of this video. If you're listening to this somewhere, I'm sorry, there are video components in every single one of my videos, or in every single one of my episodes. So if you want to see the videos, come check them out on YouTube or Spotify or Rumble, okay? But suddenly they're beginning to sound less like professors and more like priests of a sort of new creation, of a new era, of a new dawn. And in the middle of this transition, some of these priests inevitably are going to die and have been dying, right? Every civilization has this priesthood. And in the ancient world, the priesthood controlled access to things like the gods and forgiveness and higher powers and visions and stuff like that. In the medieval world, the priesthood controlled access to sacred interpretations and books and stuff like that. In the modern world, the priesthood wears lab coats. They wear security badges. They wear suits. They wear institutional credentials. They tell us what's real, what's possible, what's safe. They tell us what is impossible, until suddenly it becomes classified. And when science begins to merge with the military, the priesthood changes again. This is like some Warhammer 40K style stuff. And the mainstream will tell you not to think this way because it sounds paranoid. I'll get these comments inevitably, in every video. But the mainstream has a very bad habit of calling things paranoid until the documents become declassified and those paranoid people turned out to be right all along. It was paranoid to talk about mind control programs until MKUltra became part of the public record, right? Project Monarch, Project Montauk. It was paranoid to talk about the ticks until we found out that the army actually did put poison in them and then poisoned us with that. It was paranoid to talk about mass surveillance until all the flock cameras started showing up, until the surveillance architecture truly began to just creep into reality. It was paranoid to suggest that scientists might be strategically targeted, but look, history gave us nuclear assassinations, covert sabotage, and a bunch of scientists that are now dying. The world order is changing. China and Russia have openly spoken of these so-called changes unseen in a century. The United States is openly reorganizing itself around technological competition. We hear them talking about it all the time. They're really scared about drones and AI. Private defense contractors, intelligence-linked companies, AI labs, military institutions, they're all fusing into something that looks less like traditional little aspects of government and more like a literal machine state. Okay? The future is being engineered. And when futures become engineered, then the engineers become extremely valuable strategic assets, or, you know, strategic liabilities. They could also be considered liabilities. They become targets, they become assets, they become liabilities, they become tools, they become the people who are able to bring their country to the next level, needing to be taken out, or people who know too much, who are becoming dangerous to their very own countries, in which case they also need to be taken out. A while ago, there's a thing called the space race, and you might have heard Amy talking about it before when I showed you that video of her. And the United States engaged in it with Russia, and that's a pretty self-explanatory name, the space race. They were trying to race to space. The United States and Russia butted heads because whoever got to space first would essentially be considered the kings of technology, right, upon the face of the earth, and sort of the global leader in the technological realm. It would be like a permanent boost to their reputation amongst all the countries on the planet, and it would make essentially a nation that functions as a king of technology or a godland of advancement. And there's another race going on right now. I'm convinced of it, but it's a different kind of race.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
They're telling you it's like the AI race. But instead of the space race, and instead of the purely AI race, it is the reality race. It is the reality race. The technologically powerful countries in the world are racing to usher in the next chapter of reality, just as the space race did. And this means that there is a war that is raging within the technological realm. You have scientists being murdered by rival countries. You have spies in the tech industry. You have whistleblowers whistleblowing false information. Then you have whistleblowers whistleblowing truthful information. And you have very, very, very dark, dangerous, mysteriously, highly questionable on a moral level, scientific experiments on technological frontiers that you and I have never witnessed, nor can we imagine, as the White House has been increasingly screaming at us lately and the entire world. This battle is partially invisible, mostly invisible, I would argue, to everyday citizens like you and me, because we do not see the technology that they fight about on the streets or in our everyday lives, because they do not want us to know that they are capable of that technology. Because if they do that, the people of the world will begin to ask why you have all of these really destructive, dangerous technological abilities that are blowing our mind, but you have failed to make the world a better place with that technology, or with any technology that you most definitely have the ability to engineer. If you don't have it already and you're just keeping it a secret, This would be considered a crime against humanity. The elites possessing a technology or a whole frontier, a realm of technology that would fundamentally be good for mankind to have, because it would do things like cure cancer, cure homelessness, render the financial system as it is right now a total failure, like Thiel was talking about, end poverty, end hunger, and all of these things that are not politically motivated, like global warming. So the elites possessing all of this and not giving it to the world signals that globally the governments are against the people. That's it. This would trigger, at least allegedly, a global riot against the powers. They would lose control, period. That can't happen. They also can't allow rival nations to know what they're capable of technologically, and that's a really important aspect when it comes to a scientist war. The FBI, by the way, now says that it is spearheading the effort to look for connections into the missing and deceased scientists, and it's adding that it is working with the Department of Energy, Department of War, and with our state and local law enforcement partners to find answers. And separately, the Republican-led House Oversight Committee announced Monday that it will investigate reports of the deaths and disappearances of the individuals whom it said had access to sensitive scientific information. The reports raise questions about a possible sinister connection between the deaths and disappearances, the committee said in its statement, seeking briefings on the matter from the FBI, the Defense Department, and the Department of Energy, and of course, NASA. In a post on X, NASA literally said that it is coordinating and cooperating with the relevant agencies in relation to the scientists. And then the White House also said last week that it is also working with federal agencies to probe any potential links between the deaths and disappearances, with President Donald Trump referring to the matter as pretty serious stuff. It's very unlikely that this is a coincidence, House Oversight Chair James Comer told Fox News. Congress is very concerned about this. Our committee is making this one of the priorities now because we view this as a national security threat. So what am I getting at here? Well, first of all, the government, the Department of Defense, NASA, the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Energy, they're not going to all come out here and say, yeah, we're working on it, we're looking into it, if there's nothing happening, or if it's purely just a conspiracy theory and there's not enough base to even get it to their attention. So this is definitely an actual issue, and they're all but saying that it is an actual issue. And why is it an actual issue? It's an issue because the reality race is the race to reveal the reality that comes with these new technological frontiers that have not yet been publicly revealed, but are being teased on almost a daily basis at this point. Okay? The reality race is the race to reveal the reality that comes when these new frontiers are opened for exploration. The nation who reveals this new reality will be even more powerful than the nation who won the space race. Just as that race changed our reality by opening up the frontier to space and the tech that comes along with the developments of rockets and space travel, such as satellites and higher internet, gravitational technology, everything that goes into space travel. I'm not a scientist, but the winner of the reality will release a whole slew of new inventions and abilities upon mankind, and so therefore they will be considered a sort of king of the world. Once again, a godland among the nations. And that, in the modern times, is very, very serious business, because I don't know if you've noticed, but the cup is boiling. We are beginning to bubble over. And most likely what it will unveil is quantum technology that has been supercharged by AI and vice versa, as well as perhaps a communion with spiritual entities through technology that operates along those lines. Essentially, it will appear as if this country opens up a direct communion with a god, or at least the next level of higher life, whatever they're going to say that it is. It will fundamentally change mankind in a way that can only be compared to the invention of the light bulb. But imagine that the light bulb not only lit the dark places, but also healed your wounds, your sicknesses, your illnesses, and increased the productivity and value of your body and consciousness, and spoke to you when you needed emotional help. The ascension is what the winner of the reality race will be able to provide. Personally, I believe that this will be provided by the Antichrist. So I believe this is possibility A, and that it may be a struggle over who gets to open the next gate, because that is what these technologies are. They're gates, they're seals. AI is a gate into non-human decision-making, hypersonics into instant war, space defense into planetary surveillance, biotech is a gateway into editable flesh. Drone swarms will get you into mechanical predation and stuff like that. And quantum is, of course, a gate to the soul realm and advanced post-thinking, post-feeling horizons. Okay. And when these gates are being built, as they are, someone always guards them. Someone funds them, seals them, decides who's allowed to know, who becomes a hero, who becomes a sacrifice. To me, the real mystery is what is hiding behind these deaths. The technology or the product or the knowledge, the intelligence that they are hiding behind these deaths. To me, the mystery is not who is killing these people. Whether it's the United States government killing their own scientists to defend the technology or the knowledge, or it's a literal scientist war where warring countries are attacking each other's scientists, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the universal reality that is going to come regardless. That is why I believe we're being prepared right now. That is why the scrambling with all the rambunctious news stories that are constantly contradicting each other, that is why these new iconic happenings like the abductions of presidents, the invasions of nations, the bombing of countries, all this kind of stuff, the whole ICE thing, the everything that's going on in the United States, all of the drama, the assassinations, all this kind of stuff, all of this is kind of a preparation. We're being scrambled so that eventually we'll get to the point where we're like, just help us, just please give us anything, because they want us to care about security and commercial endeavors more than they want us to care about being happy. And so they are going to attempt to provide those things in order to neuter us, in order to lobotomize us. And when the narrative finally flips, they're not going to say, we lied. Sorry, everybody. We killed all those people, but we did it to protect you. They're not going to say that. They're going to say, congratulations, everybody. We have entered a new golden age. And then everybody will be like, whoa, what does this mean? Is it real this time? And it will be, because they are trying to pass the age actively right now as we speak. And this comes just in time for Donald Trump to really hit the release of alien and UFO content, all this disclosure. And speaking of, isn't it interesting how the guy who just tried to kill Donald Trump also worked at the Jack Parsons lab? I mean, the Jet Propulsion Lab at NASA? What's that all about? Because for those who don't know, Jack Parsons was one of the most influential figures in the history of the American space program. He was also a Marxist. He stood accused of espionage and held a deeply rooted fascination with the occult. Also, his birth name was Marvel. Yeah, like the superheroes. Coincidentally, him and his colleagues performed such radical experiments that they became nicknamed the Suicide Squad, because their experiments were so dangerous. The Suicide Squad, like from the DC universe. This stuff is weird, man. The colleague that he hired to write his story was L. Ron Hubbard, who went and created Scientology after Jack died. Both believed that they opened a portal in the desert and allowed things into this universe that weren't here before. And ironically, Jack died in an explosion. Anyway, the guy who just tried to assassinate Trump worked at that lab. Also, some of these missing and dead scientists also worked at that lab. Moving on, the White House recently registered two new U.S. government domains, alien.gov and aliens.gov. And there's nothing there right now. But there's gonna be, allegedly. And these domains are not related to ICE or immigration policy, but to the announcement made by President Trump a month ago that says, based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP, unidentified flying objects, UFOs, and any and all other information connected to these highly complex but extremely interesting and important matters. God bless America.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two questions for you. First, on the topic of space, do you have an update on the UFO files and what might be, when we're going to be seeing those?
Well, I think we're going to be releasing as much as we can in the near future. For some reason, and I guess it's just a reason that's been in the minds of people for a long time, and that is such, they want to find out about the UFOs and anything having to do with UFO or related material. And we're going to be releasing a lot of things from that we have. And I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people. I've interviewed people, my first term primarily, but I interviewed some pilots, very solid people. And they said they saw things that you wouldn't believe. So you're going to be reading about it. Yes.
When it comes to spiritual entities, I've learned that they love to hide behind tech. So when studying spirituality, it's important to look at the tech that controls, governs, and basically fills our lives. Palantir just released a 22-point summary of Karp's 320-page book. That's Alex Karp the Maniac. And this book is called The Technological Republic: Hard Power, Soft Belief, and the Future of the West. And he wrote this and published it in early 2025. It has some bizarre statements in it. But the ideas reflect Karp's long-held worldviews, including the view that the tech industry has been insufficiently supportive of U.S. national security. And Karp, who holds a PhD, by the way, in neoclassical social theory, which is just a very interesting degree to hold considering his position and mission in life, but he has basically delighted in his view that AI will devalue humanities degrees and place greater emphasis on traditional trades work. Elliot Higgins, who is founder of the investigative journalist site Bellingcat, wrote that Palantir's continued growth relies on a world that aligns with Karp's views. Palantir sells operational software to defense, intelligence, immigration, and police agencies, he wrote on Blue Sky. These 22 points aren't philosophy floating in space. They're the public ideology of a company whose revenue depends on the politics it's advocating. In his manifesto, you can look it up yourself if you want. It's pretty easy to find. Just Google it. But in it, he lists 22 very distinct points. And the most interesting ones to me are point number two, which says we must rebel against the tyranny of the apps. Is the iPhone our greatest creative, if not crowning achievement as a civilization? The object has changed our lives, but it may also now be limiting and constraining our sense of the possible. Point number four, the limits of soft power, of soaring rhetoric alone, have been exposed. The ability of free and democratic societies to prevail requires something more than moral appeal. It requires hard power, and hard power in this century will be built on software.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Point number five says, the question is not whether AI weapons will be built. It is who will build them and for what purpose. Our adversaries will not pause to indulge in theatrical debates about the merits of developing tech with critical military and national security applications. They will simply proceed. Point number 10 says, the psychologization of modern politics is leading us astray. Those who look to the political arena to nourish their soul and sense of self, who rely too heavily on their internal life finding expression in people they may never meet, will be left disappointed. In other words, politics is going to disappoint people forever. Get used to it. Number 12 goes, the atomic age is ending. One age of deterrence. The atomic age is ending, and a new era of deterrence built on AI is set to begin. Point 21 says some cultures have produced vital advances, others remain dysfunctional and regressive. All cultures are now equal. Criticism and value judgments are forbidden. Yet this new dogma glosses over the fact that certain cultures, and indeed subcultures, have produced wonders. Others have proven middling and worse, regressive and harmful. And this kind of indicates that he intends to get rid of these dysfunctional and regressive cultures in some way. And then my favorite, point number 22, we must resist the shallow temptation of a vacant and hollow pluralism. We in America, and more broadly, the West, have for the past half century resisted defining national cultures in the name of inclusivity. But inclusion into what? I mean, just look at what is in store for us, guys. It's not hard to see how there may be dark forces in the technology, especially with maniacs and psychopaths like Karp and Thiel and Musk and Gates and Bezos and all these other tech bullies at the helm. They don't know how to keep their noses, not only out of our private spaces as humans, but also out of our literal spirituality. They want access to it all. They don't believe in privacy. But of course, this advancement of tech, this dawning of the new golden era, this new golden age, will come not only with insane medical and warfare advances, it will also come with aesthetic and visible ones for the common man. Look at these AI videos that I'm about to show you and ask yourself. Again, we already kind of talked about AI videos, but I want to show you more to really drive the point home, because eventually these images will be projected onto our eyelids, or our, not our eyelids, but our literal eyes. We won't, and our eyelids as well, because they'll have access to our dreams. But this is all very easy tech. When you think about putting on a pair of smart glasses and how all of this can already happen already, you can get these visuals right in front of you. You can do all this kind of stuff with AI glasses. You can have, you know, the vibrational frequencies or whatever that, what is it called? The hearing that you can have these headsets and stuff that allow you to hear stuff without putting anything in your ears because they vibrate your bones. I can't remember what exactly it's called, but you guys know what I'm talking about. So we have all of this stuff, and it's just the thing about it is the only reason that we don't think it's threatening tech is because it's still on a commercial level in a sort of ugly phase. But that ugly phase is getting smaller and smaller, more invisible and more streamlined every single day. So soon these types of visualizations, these nightmares, these horrors, these ads, these prompts, all of this will be visible on your literal eyes. This is part of, I think this is going to be part of being a member of the beast system to its fullest capacity. So take a look at these AI aesthetics and this weird, dark, demonic imagery that AI just thinks up. And keep in mind that these are ads, by the way. All of these AI images that I've shown you or are showing you in this video are ads, because the AI is trying to get you to buy in. Why is it so good at making death and demons and monsters and evil, and fails when it comes to making humans? Why is it so good at creating a horrorscape and so bad at creating one that we actually seem to want to be in? Why does AI imagery fill us with horror? And as they attempt to re-engineer our reality and where we can go in entertainment and prison and punishment and advancement and pleasure, how will these imageries and the biological implants connect and pair to shape our future and how we literally see it visually? Because the important thing to realize is this doesn't just start and end with we want to create cool little videos on the internet for everybody to enjoy and, you know, easily accessible art styles for the ungifted and stuff like that. This isn't what that's all about. What this is all about is moving us into an era where we will be very easy to be deceived. We will be very easy to deceive. They will basically be able to convince us anything is real, because even though while you're looking at this now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, this is not that graphic. I can obviously tell that this is fake and that it's AI. This is one very low-quality AI image, AI video, I should say, of a demon that is consuming an entire population, okay? And it's starting in the subway. It starts as this weird black goo, which we have heard the discussion on black goo before, and it's consuming all of the people in a city. Okay, you can kind of see it as this black demonic thing that infected one person and is now spreading from person to person to person at a very quick pace and creating like this army of NPCs, this army of weird black goo people who are causing a lot of chaos and damage and maybe death, I don't know, but at a minimum infection and corruption across this entire city that we're looking at here. And obviously, this is a symbol of how sin and evil spreads and how demonic possession could spread. At least that's my opinion of it. And what do we get here at the end? We get all these creatures suddenly, once they have possessed enough of these passersby and these panicked citizens, we get to see all these creatures begin to collect in the middle of the city and combine their bodies to form something. And what are they forming? Well, all of these corrupted entities are forming a giant. They are forming what you could say is a Nephilim. Maybe something else. Maybe this is a fallen angel. Who knows what this is? But it looks like it is symbolic of a giant of some sort. So perhaps a Nephilim who is going to destroy this city. In our next one, we have this sort of, it looks like this destroyed landscape, this battlefield-style environment with a person in a loincloth who clearly looks like some kind of hybrid with some horrifying creature screaming as a church collapses and a dragon with three head flies above. We're seeing all of these symbols of death and skeletons and dead things on thrones and on horses and churches crumbling and bishops in skeletal form. We see these strange monsters, again, more black goo and smoke and discussions on the dead, strange creatures morphing together, fire and burning and another goblet. We have graves, we have kneeling before dead things, we have dead things beckoning that we come closer and closer as they attempt to convince us that they are the only way to what comes next, that they are the only gods that we can worship now, that they are the ones who we owe our loyalty to, right? And we see trees that are clearly dead and made of bones, beasts of bones and flesh and countless dead things and graves in this new world that allegedly we have to look forward to. Okay? Now imagine how with the use of technology and further advancement, these forces, these visuals, enter your brain through wearables and phones and implants and TVs, and soon, consciousness replications. This is the big one. This is what I was telling you about before. The ability to enter different consciousnesses like a video game or a prison. It's a downloadable visual, a downloadable consciousness. This is something they are actively trying to go towards if they don't already have it, especially for their spies and their CIA ops and their monarch victims, okay? And this will be used as entertainment, as punishment. Based on what kind of person you are, they will decide what kind of visuals are available or forced upon you, and they will convince you that their god is real through this. They will convince you that other gods are false because of through this technology. They will be able to, it will be, you will not be able to separate the nightmare from reality. The reality will become the nightmare, and vice versa. And it could be a good thing for your entertainment, obviously. As you can see, these are made by just regular artists sometimes, regular creators. But it's not the creator itself that we need to focus on. It's the brain behind the creation that creates the visuals so easily. Why are they predisposed toward those types of visuals and displays? So it could be a very bad thing, as you can imagine, for those who are deemed unlawful or in need of punishment, as you might never be able to escape from the artificial hell that they put in your brain. Kind of sounds like demonic possession, doesn't it? And that's why it's in this discussion. Because aliens, as we know, or at least as we assume, if you're like me, are actually fallen angels, spiritual entities, demonic entities, entities that don't have our best interest in mind a lot of the time. Some of these aliens, as we call them, could definitely be good angels and stuff like that, but a lot of them are going to be bad. A lot of them are going to be the earthbound fallen ones. So, kind of brings to mind demonic possession. And imagine if the powers that be, as their scientists are scrambling to survive and find a way toward the end game, imagine if they could just ask the lowercase g gods to answer an equation that they can't quite get right. That if they just did it, they could enter into a whole new frontier, you know, a whole new area of study. Finally, this equation has been solved after the entire timeline of mankind has played out. Finally, we have the answer to this equation. Finally, we can see how to perform these experiments that we haven't been able to nail down. Or finally, we can just be outright granted through the worship of these entities the knowledge that we need. An answer to one of our most demanding questions. Because that's the biggest secret. They know there's something out there. The reason we can't know what it is yet is because if we did, everything would fall apart. The devil's game would be up. And I know it's hard to imagine, but it would be so obvious that I personally believe humanity as a whole would cease to exist in the way that it does now. Society and civilization definitely would fall apart. There would be a spiritual awakening, an uncontrollable amount of suicides and death, widespread chaos, as individuals found out that nothing that they ever thought was real was actually real, that their God is not real, that they will be led to believe that there may be nothing after death, which is why you need to subscribe to this new tech religion that will give you permanent life, everlasting life. All of this will take away from us our desire to even pursue the one true creator God and to be like him. Because we will need to be like this new tech religion if we want to reap the benefits of it. And simultaneously, they will begin to kill those who don't accept it. They'll do it through plagues, they'll do it through sicknesses, they'll do it through just straight up murder, execution, Inquisition style stuff like that. And these will be the end days. Okay? Anyway, thank you all for watching. And don't be disheartened. The life is in the blood.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.